supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Hello and welcome to the annual You Bet Your Garden Christmas Spectacular from WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm your host, Mike McGrath, in the studio with our traditional Christmas co-conspirator, Mr. Ken Queter, longtime You Bet Your Garden musical director and holder of the Guinness World Record for most coal in his stocking 35 years running.
Stocking? One year they had to back a truck up to my house, man. I keep telling them they got the wrong place, but this guy with a big white beard gets out of the truck, and there I am, right on this list he has in his hand. In fact, I think I'm the first name on the list, but I think I'm just misunderstood, you know.
Kenny, you got enough coal one year that you heated your entire house with it.
Right, so maybe I really am good, and heat is my present. I can dig it.
Right, you're not bad, you're just drawn that way. Merry Christmas, Kenny.
Merry Christmas, Mike. Now, who is that I just heard laughing?
Ah, that's Nalani and Serena. They're going to do one of their songs for the new musical number in this year's show.
Well, I've heard of them. They're like real musicians.
I know. It's a real change of pace for us, isn't it? But I'm sure we can handle it. But before we bring them on, I wanted to give them a taste of what our annual Christmas spectaculars are like. So we're going to start with one of the earliest of our holiday plant interviews. Jane Pepper, longtime empress of the famed Philadelphia Flower Show and past president of the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society, talking with me about the poinsettia back in 2002.
Well, it's an interesting story. The Philadelphia Flower Show started in 1829, and there was a gentleman down in Mexico, I believe he was the American ambassador there, called Mr. Poinsett, and he got absolutely enchanted by this enormous tropical plant with red bracts at Christmas time, which eventually he sent a piece of it up to Philadelphia to a nurseryman called Mr. Buist, B-U-I-S-T, and he loved to exhibit special things. And so at the first Philadelphia Flower Show in 1829, he shows up with this tropical plant, which now is the one that we have in so many variations in our homes for Christmas. So they eventually called it poinsettia.
You mean, seriously? It wasn't just like an early Philadelphia Flower Show? It was the very first one?
It was the first, and it was one of the stars of the show, as you can imagine, because people in Philadelphia hadn't seen anything quite that garish, let's put it that way.
And you say that the standard form or the grown-up, the adult-size thing is very large?
It's huge. I don't know if you've been down to Mexico, but actually, I saw them mostly in Kenya when I was there on a Horticultural Society trip, and they are about as tall as I am, about 5'5".
With presumably multiple bracts all over the plant?
Yes, and the reason they're so tall is because they're perennials there. They grow from year to year. So it just keeps on growing and growing, which is what would happen to your poinsettia if you just hung on to it for years and years and had a place where you could keep it.
Now, we should point out that I think many people still misunderstand the poinsettia because those we're calling them bracts, which is the correct term. But the red part is not the flower. Those are simply red leaves. The flowers themselves are in those little guys
those
in
little
the center,
sticky
right?
Sticky yellow things, which can be such a pain as they grow old and fall off and kind of make a mess all over your floor. But yes, you're absolutely right. That's what they are. And I think the other thing with the poinsettias that people really need to think about is keeping them out of drafts. Keep them in a place where they get a certain amount of sun, but not full sun, you know, just enough light, and keep them well watered.
And one thing we should remind people if they haven't got their poinsettias yet, because you don't think of it, something that's sold at Christmas time, it ain't a little pine tree. This thing is very, not even frost sensitive, cold sensitive, which is why they wrap them up so much when you take them home. But you really can't leave that plant in your car on a freezing cold winter day while you go run an errand for half an hour. You got to get that right into the warmth, right?
You're absolutely right. And those sleeves that they put on them in the grocery store or in the nursery, those are absolutely invaluable.
The 2018 edition of the world-famous Philadelphia Flower Show runs from Saturday, March 3rd through Sunday, March 11th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center and features the Wonders of Water. Speaking of water, I hope your cut Christmas tree has a reservoir full of H2O underneath. or green and sharp your carpet will be. And speaking of trees, here's a terrific Tannenbaum tune from Kenny and the band that's dedicated to all the tireless truckers who listened to us on their satellite radio.
Well, I'm chucking trees for Christmas on this old mountaintop. I'm chucking them down to the middle of town for that big Christmas lot. Yeah, I'm chucking trees for Christmas, singing jingle bells on my way. I'm chucking trees for Christmas, for Christmas Day. Yeah, you'll find me chucking Christmas trees to town every year. And I feel like Santa's helper, spreading a bit of the cheer. Cause the kiddies have been waiting for this season all year long. For Christmas trees and old Saint Nick to brighten up their home. As I'm chucking trees for Christmas on this old mountaintop. I'm chucking them down to the middle of town for that big Christmas light. Yeah, I'm chucking trees for Christmas, singing jingle bells on my way. I'm chucking trees for Christmas, for Christmas Day. I got a string of pretty Christmas lights that hang from the cab of my truck, and a little tree on my dashboard that I decorated up. Well, people might think I'm crazy by the silly things I do, but I don't care, cause I think the truck's like Christmas too. Cause I'm chucking trees for Christmas on this old mountaintop. I'm chucking them down to the middle of town for that big Christmas light. I'm chucking trees for Christmas, singing jingle bells on my way. I'm chucking trees for Christmas, for Christmas Day. Yeah, I'm chucking trees for Christmas on this old mountaintop. I'm chucking them down to the middle of town for that big Christmas light. Cause I'm chucking trees for Christmas, singing jingle bells on my way. I'm chucking trees for Christmas, for Christmas Day. Yeah, I'm chucking trees for Christmas, for Christmas Day.
Wow, Kenny, that was really good.
Yeah, Mike told us you were just a hardcore rock and roller.
Most of the time. But you gotta love country music, and that was just me trying to channel a little bit of Roger Miller. Hey, so you're the twin superstars, right? Making CDs, writing songs, playing clubs?
That's right, Kenny. In fact, these young ladies have a regular gig at the Bitter End.
Isn't that where you always say, I'm gonna end up?
You silly, silly man. It's a famous club in New York.
Actually, you know, it could be both. Remember the stories about Queeter that the bartender was telling us the other night?
Hey, I resemble those remarks.
He's just a victim of circumstance. Anyway, ladies, it is indeed an honor and pleasure to have you on our holiday special this year. Julian Hertzfeld, who helped produce all of our original Christmas shows back in the day, says that you do some holiday tunes in your show around this time of year.
Hey, Mike, I know we don't go on officially until near the end of the show, but can we play you a little sample of the song now?
Absolutely. We got a minute or two left in this segment, so let's give the audience a little tease.
Okay. Lots of holiday cheer here.
Bam, 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 bam. I want to be sedated. Bam, 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 bam. I want to be sedated. One, two, three, four. Hours to go. I wanna be sedated. Nothing to do, nowhere to go. Oh, I wanna be sedated. Get me to the airport and put me on a plane. Hurry, hurry, hurry before I go insane. I can't control my fingers. I can't control my brain. Oh no. Oh, 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 oh. I wanna be sedated. wheelchair and get me to the show. Hurry, 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 before I go loco. I can't control my fingers, I can't control my toes. On the
That's great. Best holiday song ever, man. I don't know about you, Mike, but to me, that really captures the spirit of the season. To me, that's the new Jingle Bells.
Where did I go wrong? 2 minutes ago, I'm hosting a nice holiday special. Now I'm Charlie Brown trying to direct the Christmas pageant while all of you are pogo dancing.
Isn't it a great Christmas play, Charlie Brown?
Yeah, now go out and get a good tree, Charlie Brown.
Not a poor tree.
There's never a Linus around when you really need one. Oh, well, please stay tuned. Coming up, we'll have more holiday plant fun, a kind of a Christmas story, some classic holiday tunes from past shows, and new music from the talented team of Nalani and Serena. I'm Mike McGrath, and you're listening to the You Bet Your Garden Christmas Spectacular from WHYY in Philadelphia.
Support for You Bet Your Garden is provided by the Espoma Company, offering a complete selection of natural organic plant foods and potting soils. More information about Espoma and the Espoma Natural Gardening Community can be found at espoma.com.
Welcome back to the annual You Bet Your Garden Christmas Spectacular from WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm your host, Mike McGrath, here in the studio with our longtime musical director, Mr. Ken Queter, and this year's very special musical guest, Nalani and Serena. Yeah, Kenny, you were talking to the ladies during the break. Were you able to steer them into maybe a little bit more of a Christmassy tune?
No problem, man. They're real professionals, just like me.
Oh, you're supposed to be reassuring me.
Don't worry, Mike. Everything's together. They're rehearsing a real traditional holiday tune in the other room right now, so you just carry on. What do you have up next?
An interview about a plant so festive, the holiday we're celebrating is in its first name.
Mistletoe.
I don't know which spirit of Christmas you are, Queter, but I'm ready for the next one now, okay? Anyway, here's my interview with Purdue Extension specialist Rosie Lerner from 2006 about what is possibly the ultimate holiday plant.
They're not as hard to take care of as some people might think. They are a little bit more persnickety than the other cacti because probably we're really interested in those flowers. They are actually true cacti, which is sometimes not clear to folks, but they are not native to the desert as most of the other cactus are. They grow on other living things, not as parasites, but they just use them as friendly support. And so they normally, in their native habitat in the tropics of Brazil, they grow on tree bark.
Just like orchids.
Very similar to orchids.
Huh.
So even though botanically speaking they're related to the cacti, their habit is much more similar.
And in the information that you collected, one of the things that surprised me is this is probably the most water-hungry cactus.
They apparently use more water than other cacti do.
Over the years, I've heard that there were three, quote, holiday cacti, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and Easter, and that turns out to be correct, right?
That is true, and in fact, it gets even more complicated than that because there probably aren't any left anymore in commerce that aren't hybridized. So there's not only those three species, but lots of hybrids.
Now, when somebody buys a plant or gets one as a gift, is that something that's already been programmed to bloom at a specific holiday the first time?
Yes, in fact, the Christmas cacti or the holiday cacti tend to bloom at specific times, mostly related to the length of the dark period that they're going through at that particular time. So for roughly around 8 weeks prior to when they actually set bud, the length of the dark period is what is critical.
You know, it occurs to me that you're right about Christmas, especially because a lot of gardeners take their houseplants out for the summer. They're kind of drenched with light.
Yeah.
And then when they bring them in to protect them against the frost or even the cold weather so they don't forget the poor things, not only would the days be getting shorter rapidly, but the change to inside would greatly limit the light. I mean, it's probably a double positive whammy for the plant to tell it to get working.
Yeah, that's right. It's actually a good thing. And Christmas cactus is one that does respond well if it's brought outdoors for the summer and then brought back in the fall. It seems to like that.
And if you're going to do this artificially, would you start like 10 weeks or 12 weeks before Christmas? Because you say bud set. And then those buds can sit there a while before they open up.
That sounds about right.
All right. Rosie Lerner, Extension Consumer Horticulture Specialist for the Purdue University Department of Horticulture and Landscape Architecture. Thanks very much for being on You Bet Your Garden.
Oh, you're quite welcome. Thanks for inviting me.
Right, Christmas cactus. That was going to be my next guest. Hey, while you were doing that, I asked Nalani and Serena to come back in and listen to a song from a previous show that's sure to get them in that very, very merry mood.
That's a good idea, Kenny.
Hey, a broken watch is still right twice a day. Hey, aren't you guys from Jersey?
Yeah, we're Jersey girls. We're actually right in northern central Jersey, which is perfect for gigging because we're right in between New York and Philadelphia.
Okay. Well, in Philadelphia, we had a cat named Alan Mann, who unfortunately isn't with us anymore. But back in the day, he recorded one of the best Christmas songs ever. It's one of my favorites.
Now, I think we've never told the people out there that this is a song about how a group of blind people reacted to Christmas lights and the Christmas season, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
All right. Let's hear Kenny performing the late, great Alan Mann's Christmas on the Block.
There's a street light that sits above the night, and it shines its gray light on the midnight air, and the houses twinkle on the block. But there's one house that shines a special way out there, and it's Christmas in the city. And the trees are lighted pretty, but the prettiest Christmas tree of all. Oh, they see all the colors that we cannot, and there's a most beautiful Christmas on the Block. Thank you. they cannot see the light of day. When the night is forever, the fact remains, in this world of confusion there is peace. There is hope in despair, sometimes a beauty is a beast. And they cannot see the lightning, and they cannot hear the thunder, but they know what no one understands, that beauty is a blessing, love is all we've got, and there's a most beautiful Christmas on the block.
Nice. I really like that.
Beautiful.
So next up is your Christmas story, right, Mike?
You know, I was thinking about not doing that again on this year's show.
You have to, man. I love your stories.
I want to hear a story. Yeah, I want to hear a story.
We want to hear a story.
We want to hear a story.
Yeah. All right. We'll cue up the story.
So what's it called?
The Wastrel and the Watermelon.
It's about me.
Now, a few years back, my summer garden, as usual, was dominated by tomatoes. The stars included the beautiful red and yellow blush Georgia Streak, black Brandywine, a truly black, that is, dark purple-shouldered version of the legendary tasty beefsteak, Super Marzano, presumably a mild-mannered San Marzano that was rocketed to my garden from the doomed planet Krypton. Honey, look, it's a tiny crashed spaceship. Yes, and there are tomato seeds wrapped in these red and blue blankets inside. Brandywine, which if it isn't the perfect tomato, you can see it from there. And Bellstar, a meaty paste tomato that's still germinating nicely, despite the 1988 printed on the faded envelope. The scarlet runner bean vines did achieve their full legendary size. I told my son to climb them and look for a harp and some shiny eggs up there. But they disliked the summer heat so much, they refused to produce a single scarlet blossom. Then boom, they burst into bloom on the first day of fall. And we had hummingbirds stacked up in the garden like airplanes at O'Hare the day before Thanksgiving. And the watermelon, of course, loved the heat. Yes, I grew watermelon. No, that is not the wisest choice in a sun and space-challenged garden. But gardening is not an educational experience. At least it isn't the way I do it. It's an artistic experience. And sometimes it's modern art, as in, is this thing right side up or what? And besides, my daughter had pulled out those big eyes, searched through her dresser drawers until she found a smile, which was easy to find as it was the only thing in those drawers. All her clothes have been on the floor since I bought those Bellstar seeds. And said, Daddy, could you please grow me some watermelon? I knew there was no way my little northeast garden could produce full-size melons before frost, but I might be able to pull off one of those smaller, round icebox types. So I got some garden baby seeds. To nobody's surprise, most of my starts looked like the before pictures in a fertilizer ad. But one of them looked like it might survive planting, so when the weather warmed up enough, out it went. And it thrived! I planted the other starts too, but thrived is not the word that came to mind when you saw them. The good vine flowered and produced a fruit so perfect it could have been a catalog picture. The season progressed, the vine grew, and the baby got bigger. Twice as big as the poor Tiny Tim ones in the other beds. And then it hit me. I was placing a lot of emotional investment in a watermelon. In my tiny shade-plagued garden, what was I thinking? It was like a Highlights for Children project. How many scary thoughts can you find in there? Whenever I went out to the garden, I would try not to look at it right away, just nonchalantly catch a little glimpse to see if it was still there. Then I'd spend the rest of the day working up the nerve to check it for bullet holes. Finally, we had to go away on vacation. This is typically the part in the horror movie where you scream at the people not to go down and check those noises in the basement. But we returned to find the chosen fruit still there, and the tendril closest to that fruit brown and shriveled, the single best sign of watermelon ripeness. And a little yellow patch on the bottom of the fruit, the other single best sign of watermelon ripeness. I reached down and snapped it off the vine. Then I knew real fear. There's only one thing worse than spending an entire summer coddling a watermelon only to pick it a week too early. And that's spending the entire summer growing it for someone else to carve into the sea of green I now feared was inside. But the tendril was dead. The bottom was yellow. It had been on the vine a month longer than the seed packet said it needed to be. More importantly, it was no longer attached to that vine. It must be ripe, it must be ripe, I repeated over and over as I walked to the house with a cradle in my arms. I know it's ripe, I know it's ripe. I had become the little gardener who could. I took it into the house and got a knife out of the drawer. My daughter comes into the kitchen. Oh, it's so pretty, she says. Is it ripe? My body temperature drops to around 43 degrees. I can't speak. I shouldn't be holding a knife. Personally, I could lose an entire garden, and have, and not get upset. Well, not too upset. But this was for someone else. No, no, not was. Is for someone else. I held my breath, mumbled the promise to write a check to the Salvation Army, and sliced away. Hysterical blindness. I can't see anything. Then I see red, lots of red, running off the cutting board and onto the counter. Oh my God, I've cut off my thumb. No, no, wait, it's juice. Red juice, watermelon juice. Daddy, it's perfect, says my daughter, biting into a piece. My wife walks by and grabs a slice. That's really good. Very sweet. Thanks, I say. There's a couple more outside that might be almost as good. Well, what a nice change of pace, says my wife. You normally don't grow watermelons. No, and I never will again. Special thanks to Monk Manley, Jeff Michael, and the great Jim Fogarty for providing that sweet, sweet background music behind my story.
That was really nice. Yeah, and do you still grow watermelon for your family?
Worse, I planted peaches. They make watermelons look easy.
Well, that sounds like another story.
I'd need to clean up the language first. Anyway, let's continue to get you two in the merriest of moods with a little tune Kenny did on one of our very first holiday shows, back when we performed them live on the air early on a Saturday morning.
Man, Kenny, how were you able to sing that early?
Badly!
I'll have a blue Christmas without you. I'll be so blue thinking about you. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't mean a thing if you're not here with me.
Hey, not bad for early in the morning. So, Mike, are you ready to hear the more festive tune that we were thinking of doing? It's something you're guaranteed to hear on the radio this time of year, we promise.
Okay, okay, so let's hear it.
Santa, bring my baby back to me. Santa, bring my baby back to me. I don't need a lot of presents to make my Christmas bright. I just need my baby's arms wound around me tight. Oh, Santa, hear my plea. Santa, bring my baby back to me.
Santa, bring my baby back to me. The Christmas tree's ready. The candles on a glow. But with my baby
far away. What good is mistletoe? Oh, Santa, hear my plea. Santa, bring my baby back to me.
Santa, bring my baby back to me.
Please make these reindeer hurry. The time is drawing near. It sure won't seem like Christmas unless my baby's here. But boom, boom, don't fill my sock with candy. No bright and shiny toy. You wanna make me happy and fill my heart with joy. Then Santa, hear my plea. Santa, bring my baby back to me.
Santa, bring my baby back to me.
Santa, bring my baby back to me. Oh, hear my plea. Santa, bring my baby back to me.
Well, that was excellent. You give me hope. And I hope you'll all stay tuned out there, because coming up next, we'll have great interviews about mistletoe, frankincense, and myrrh.
Frankincense?
Myrrh?
What about the good stuff? What about the gold?
And more great songs from previous shows by Ken Queter and his reindeer band. A new holiday tune from Lucy Van, Nalani and Serena. And I'm Mike McGrath, and you're listening to the You Bet Your Garden Christmas Spectacular from WHYY in Philadelphia.
Support for You Bet Your Garden is provided by the Espoma Company, offering a complete selection of natural organic plant foods and potting soils. More information about Espoma and the Espoma Natural Gardening Community can be found at espoma.com.
Welcome back to the third half hour of the You Bet Your Garden Christmas Spectacular. I'm your host, Murray Mike McGrath, and we're in the stretch now, cats and kittens. Joining me in the studio, as he has for the past 17 seasons of this self-indulgent frivolity, is our musical director, Mr. Ken Queter, the living legend of Smokey Joe's. And this year, we are also honored by our very special guest, the talented twins Nalani and Serena, who will perform our closing number about sedation, or maybe about something about Christmas.
Hey, man, don't be worried about Nalani and Serena. I already told you, they're as professional as I am.
So, this is how my career ends. I always wondered.
Oh, Mike, now don't you worry your pretty little head. We have a third song already that's going to be the real finale that we'll close the show with.
Close the show. Why does everybody keep saying, close the show? I was a young man when this day started.
Oh, stop it. Like Kenny said, we're pros. You can trust us.
You know, I was willing to do that right up until the time you said I had a pretty little head. Then it all went south for me.
Michael McGrath, you stop your moaning and introduce the next segment before we start running out of time.
Why, it's Alexis Landis, producer of You Bet Your Garden. I wondered how you were going to weasel your way into this year's show.
Yo, I object. You can't compare Alexis to a weasel.
You know, you're right, Kenny. You're weasel enough for the two of you.
That's better. Thank you.
At any rate, Alexis is correct. It's time for more holiday plant lore. So let's bring up our interview with famed herbologist Judith Ben-Hurley, in which she attempts to learn me up about two of the three gifts brought to the stable by the three kings.
That's a good hand, three kings.
I'll give you a hand. Alexis! Do you think of frankincense and myrrh very differently or interchangeably?
Almost interchangeably. Frankincense is sort of spicy, woodsy, camphory, and it almost has a citrusy or a lemony top note. Myrrh is similar, but it's more earthy. Frankincense is calming. It's generally considered to be a calming herb when inhaled. And myrrh is more fortifying or rejuvenating, slightly lifting. So if you consider the two of them together, you can have a nice harmonious balance. I mean, if you can smell me, you can smell that I have frankincense and myrrh on together.
Oh, aren't you sweet? You came pre-scented.
I came pre-scented, and I came with goodies, too.
Oh, I see these wonderful things you have here.
I know. Check this out. That is a
little... Oh, I'm looking at... Judith has handed me a little blue bottle that says Echo Dent Daily Care, and there's a little cartoon guy brushing his teeth.
Happily brushing his teeth.
Brushing his teeth. His eyes are dancing, and it says hardens teeth without fluoride. And so this has...
Has myrrh in it. It's other things and myrrh. Myrrh is an astringent for the gums for prevention and sometimes curing some forms of gingivitis, depending on how advanced they are.
You brought a ton of products with you.
Well, I have something that you can find in a natural food store or a supermarket, and it's a little massage oil with about 12 different herbs in them, including frankincense and myrrh. It's very, very relaxing. You can add some drops to the bath, and I added about 3 drops to a half a cup of Epsom salts. And you can get Epsom salts at a pharmacy, at a grocery store. They come in those milk carton things, and mm-hmm. gardeners who have roses probably have them. And then put it in a little Ziploc, and you can rub your hands with it while they're wet to exfoliate after gardening, or you can put that in your bathtub and just soak in it. And it's got the same fragrance as the frankincense and myrrh oil.
You're the first person to say exfoliate on this show.
Really?
I mean, it's been 7 years, yes. You know.
Wow.
I'm totally foliated.
Another you know? First. This is an interesting thing, too. This is a
That is so beautiful.
I know.
So this is called Zumbar, Z-U-M-B-A-R.
Right.
And it's a goat's milk soap.
That is goat's milk.
And unlike the other things you brought, this is just in terms of the, quote, active ingredient, this is just frankincense and myrrh.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Judith. It's always an absolute delight to have you on You Bet Your Garden. Judith is the author of many books. You can start with a good herb and move on from there. They are all a delight, as is she personally. Judith Ben-Hurley, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and thanks for being on You Bet Your Garden.
Happy Holidays to you.
Well, now this show is getting interesting. I think we should all take an exfoliation break.
No, I'm afraid of what they might find underneath my foliates. So instead, I'm going to play one of the first big production numbers we created for the show. These things took hours to record, and they were all great, but this one is really special. It was my wife's favorite Christmas song when she was growing up.
Oh, that's sweet. How long have you guys been married for?
Close to 35 years.
35 years? That's almost as long as the two of us have been on the planet combined.
You just had to say combined, didn't you? Anyway, it was actually a novelty record when it came out, but it's got a great beat. And the original single opened with a wonderful a cappella version of O Tannenbaum in the original German. So Kenny and the band learned the basic tune, but we turned to Mike and Scott, who is currently the host of a show called The Pulse here on WHYY, who grew up in Germany. And Patty McMahon, a truly professional singer, who worked at Fresh Air and Radio Times over the years to provide that opening. The silence you hear in the background while they sing is a sign that we were absolutely frozen by this performance.
Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum, wie treu sind deine Blätter. Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum, wie treu sind deine Blätter. Du grünst nicht nur zur Sommerzeit, nein, auch im Winter, wenn es schneit. Oh, Tannenbaum, oh, Tannenbaum, wie treu sind deine Blätter.
The music came out in the First World War, the bloody Red Baron was flying once more. The Allied command ignored all of its men and called on Snoopy to do it again. 'Twas the night before Christmas in 40 below, when Snoopy went up in search of his foe. He spied the Red Baron and fiercely they fought. With ice on his wings, Snoopy knew he was caught. Christmas bells, us Christmas. And reached for the trigger to pull it up tight. Why he didn't shoot, well, we'll never know. Or was it the bells from the village below? Christmas bells, us Christmas bells. Baron made Snoopy fly to the Rhine and forced him to land behind the enemy lines. Snoopy was certain that this was the end when the Baron cried out,
Merry Christmas, my friend!
The Baron then offered a holiday toast, and Snoopy, our hero, saluted his host. And then with the roar, they were both on their way, each knowing they
need... Wow, they were good. We're going to have to up our game.
No, we don't. We'll just try and be brilliant. I'm ready, sis. Are you?
Yep.
Wait, wait, wait a minute, brilliant ones. We still have one more interview to fit in. But I'll tell you what, since I just interrupted you, I'll let you guys choose the topic. What's it going to be? We got two left and only time for one. Mistletoe or the Christmas fern?
You pick. Let's do mistletoe.
All right, it's time to talk mistletoe. And we're going to talk mistletoe with Ray Ridlin, an extension educator in the Oklahoma County, Oklahoma State University Extension Service for Agriculture and Horticulture. And one of the reasons that we're talking to an extension agent in Oklahoma about mistletoe is that mistletoe is your state flower?
Well, not necessarily our state flower. It is actually our state floral emblem. And the way the state floral emblem came about is the Women's Congress for the 1893 Chicago's World Fair wanted to have each state to select a unique floral emblem to represent their state at the exposition. And originally, Oklahoma wanted the passion flower. But they mistakenly, in error, thought that Arkansas had selected it, which in fact they haven't. So their second choice was the mistletoe.
So that's very unusual to pick as your, like, target flower, a parasitic plant.
A parasitic plant. Well, the one thing about mistletoe, you know, the winter times here, most of our trees are deciduous. And, you know, it's one of the few green things. It's evergreen year-round and one of the few things that you could decorate a grave with in the wintertime.
And that is one of the big reasons it became known as a holiday plant back in Europe.
Yes. And there's a lot of, you know, Norse mythology behind mistletoe also, about this god of summer, Baldur, was killed by a, arrow tipped by mistletoe, and his mother brought him back to life and shed tears for several days, you know, before she brought him back to life. And that's what they say little white berries on the mistletoe are, represent the tears of his mother, Frigga, the goddess of love. Because if he died, we would never have summer again. It would all be winter, and everything would perish. And when she brought him back to life, she had a tree with mistletoe and kissed everybody that passed underneath it. And that's how he came to kissing under the mistletoe from the Norse mythology.
Oh, and she was kissing everybody because she was so happy her son was back.
Yes.
That's amazing. Now, mistletoe is a really weird plant, Ray. Let's be honest about this.
Yes.
There are not a lot of true parasitic plants in the plant world, are there?
No, very few.
And this is, I guess, one of the reasons it has berries, like holly, is birds are attracted by the berries. They're certainly not poisoned by them.
Right.
And then they'll fly, and the next time they take a rest stop, can we say delicately? Would that be a nice way of putting it?
A pit stop.
Yes.
A layover.
If it's over a pit, yeah. And they'll drop that berry right back into the ground with a little bit of fertilizer. And then what happens, right?
Well, actually, they deposit it on a tree.
That's how it
spread from tree to tree.
So it does not come up out of the ground and attack a tree.
No, it grows strictly, strictly an aerial plant growing on limbs of trees.
Is there a lot of mistletoe in Oklahoma?
Yeah, normally we'll see it mainly in elm trees in Oklahoma. Any tree that's under stress, and a lot of our, you know, a lot of parts of the country are familiar with the American elms and the Dutch elm disease and the decline of those. So normally we see it in trees that are in decline, and it's always one of those chickens or the egg. Is the mistletoe there causing the decline of the tree, or is the tree in decline making it more susceptible to have mistletoe grow in it?
All right. Ray Ridlin is an extension agent from Oklahoma County in the Oklahoma State University Extension Service. Ray, thanks very much for being on our Christmas show this year.
I thoroughly enjoyed it, Mike, and have a great holiday season.
You too. All right, we are 1 minute from the moment of truth. So let's get the last of the housekeeping out of the way first. Thanks to all of our great listeners for indulging this annual exercise in holiday cheer. Hope you enjoyed it. We always do. If you had a gardening question, don't despair. Like we always say, you can call us anytime at 1-888-346-9499. Leave a message and we'll try and get you on an upcoming show. Or send us your email at garden@whyy.org. There's no time for me to read the Gardens Alive question of the week, but we have a great one all about holiday plant care. How to keep your paper whites tidy and get your amaryllis to rebloom. It's waiting for you at the You Bet Your Garden section of gardensalive.com. Gardens Alive supports the You Bet Your Garden question of the week. And visit our website, youbetyourgarden.org, where you can click through to the question of the week, find answers to all your garden questions, listen to this show, listen to old shows, and or download our podcast. Elizabeth Perez Luna is executive producer of audio content for WHYY. Special thanks to Julian Hertzfeld and all of the talented musicians and singers who performed in the Reindeer Band over the years, including Monk Manley, Jim Fogarty, Jeff Michael, Chuck Lindsay, Michael Radcliffe, Jack McTamney, Kevin Karg, Patty Leswing, and Nikki Jane. And holiday greetings to Santa's weekly helpers, Rich Banowitz, Lauren Elkins, and Amanda McGrath. And to our original producer, Kingsley Smith, and the stalwarts who followed, Mike and Scott, Gita Simons, and Alexis Landis. To our esteemed editor, Al Banks, our engineering staff, talented volunteers, interns, and production assistants. Thanks, as always, to Ken Queter, and Nalani and Serena, who you can follow online at NALANISARINA.com. Well, ladies, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show. Now, channel your spirit of Christmas and sing us out of here.
Thank you so much for having us, Mike. It's been an absolute pleasure. This is a John Lennon song.
So this is Christmas. And what have you done? Another year over.
over and a new one just begun. So this is Christmas. I hope you had fun. The near and the dear one, the old and the young. Very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Let's hope it's a good one without any fear. And so this is Christmas for weak and for strong, for rich and the poor one. The road is so long. And so happy Christmas for black and for white, for yellow and red ones. Let's stop all the fight. A very Merry Christmas and a Happy New. Let's hope it's a good one without any
I'm Mike McGrath, and on the next thrilling episode of You Bet Your Garden, we'll ring in the new year by listening back to some of the most amazing interviews we've conducted over the years. That's a very special condensed cream of You Bet Your Garden.